hard time finding what I want. And sometimes it seems like they ain't even in here. I even forgot what I wanted to find in the first place. Well, you might not say it's much of a sermon, but I want to bring a lesson to you, if I can, in the way that it has appeared to me. As I go once in a while in the evening and was studying some, get extra references on our Sunday school lesson, sometimes a reference kind of, you might say, stood out that I might want to talk about. I'm going to read from Zechariah. Right at the first of Zechariah. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Perchiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. I hope he wasn't too displeased with our fathers, but it says there, with their fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Showing, when we kind of reverse that, that if we turn from the Lord, he will turn from us. Can we expect to turn from the Lord and still expect Him to stay right with us and help us in everything? Stop and think, because we've got some more to read. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. You know, we want to stop and think that that could happen now. The prophets, as in times of old, Hebrews tells us that he spake unto the people by the prophets. He said, In these latter days he spoke unto us by his Son. And his Son has caused, shall I say, the Scriptures to be left here for our guidance. And in that way he speaks to us today. He says, Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my word and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Showing that it's according to our ways and according to our doings, how much the Lord is going to deal with us. If we come close to Him, He'll be close to us. But if we turn farther from Him, He'll not be close to us. I read the first six verses in the first chapter of Zechariah. Now I want to turn over to chapter 8. I've got too many papers in my Bible sometimes. I have to kind of move them around. Zechariah chapter 8, beginning with verse 16. And you understood there, as I read before, that the Lord commanded Zechariah to speak unto the people. And this is some of the things that he told them. These are the things that ye shall do. Now, there ain't any ifs, ands, or buts about it. It says, these are the things ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. You know, sometimes we kind of hedge a little bit. And it ain't what we should do. It says, speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. The truth and peace. That's what he's trying to tell us that we must do. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against your neighbor. And love no false oath. That means to get up and swear to a false oath. And it says that love no false oath, not even to have anything to do with it. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Are we supposed to do anything that the Lord hates? If we are, I've got the wrong conception of what he has been trying to tell us in one place and another in the scriptures all through. I read the verses 16 and 17, if you want to write them down. I'm going to turn over to Malachi. He has a few things in there that, shall I say, are for our good too. And we all want to stop to realize that it's when he comes, I mean when the Lord comes, that we're going to have ourselves in a condition that will please him. And if we don't get ourselves in that condition now and continue in that condition to the end of our days, we might be someplace over yonder where there's no work can be done when he comes along, and we'll be judged for our works. So I'm going to read out of the third chapter of Malachi. I don't know how much. Start right the first of it. He says, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. Now we've heard that described in different ways. We've heard them, some say that there's got to be a big edifice, a temple built, for the Lord to come to. And some say that we are the temple of the Lord, each of us individually, because he abides in us if we abide in him. So stop to think about it and take it as you like. But I believe that he will come to each person. We will all know when he comes. And I have to say, we have to be our own judge. It says, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. You know, there is a question there. Who may abide the day of his coming? Now, I don't know how you want to say that, how we're going to abide, But I've always had the thought that when there is a question, there is probably some place in the scriptures, a scripture that will answer it. And I believe that that question is answered in the Psalms. So I'm going to read, kind of interrupt into that reading, and read one here in the Psalms that wasn't my intention in the first place to have this, but it seems to me that if I could answer one question to you so that there would be no doubt, I have gained 1 point. And if I can gain 1 point in a lesson to you, I have accomplished something. Not for me, but for you and our Master. Psalms, the 24th chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 1. I'm going to read about 5 verses. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" Now here's the answer. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." That's the one that's going to be able to stand before the Lord. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." I believe there is the answer to who is going to be able to stand before the Lord when he comes. And he tells us in Malachi that he's coming. I'll read that last verse again. "He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord." "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." Showing how he's going to purify the people, that they can be offered to the Lord an offering in righteousness. "Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you in to judgment. I want to be a swift witness against the sorcerer, against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Showing the ones that the Lord, or maybe not all, but some of the ones that the Lord is going to witness against when they come before the Lord for judgment. we don't want to be among those that he witnesses against. I'm going to read one more verse over here in chapter 4. And this tells us a little bit more about maybe what's going to come. It says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Showing that this day that's coming, and it doesn't say when right there, but I would say it's probably when he comes here, as I read in the third chapter. And that day will burn up all those that are wicked and the proud. And I expect those that I just read over there in that earth will be numbered among the wicked and the proud. And if they're going to be burned up, leave them neither root nor branch, let's try and not be in that category. I want to read a little bit out of, first here in Moroni, the 6th chapter. Verse 2. This is a little bit more, maybe shall I say, to kind of teach us a lesson. "Behold, elders, priests, and teachers were baptized. And they were not baptized, save they brought forth fruit, meat, that they were worthy of it. Neither did they receive any unto baptism, save they came forth with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and witnessed unto the church that they truly repented of all their sins." Showing that condition that should be before any can come, shall I say, to Christ through the church, be baptized unto Christ, that they'll be witness to the people that they're worthy of it. And that they come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And you don't get that broken heart and a contrite spirit from being just a little bit proud. In one place it says, keeps classes envy along with proud. I want to turn over to 3 Nephi from here. In the 4th chapter, I want to read verses 49 and 50. This is Christ speaking to the people here, and he has just been telling them of the doing away of the Mosaic law. It says, "And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifice and your burnt offering shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit." Didn't I say, read over there about a broken heart and a contrite spirit? "And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me at the time of their conversion, for were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. I read verses 49 and 50 in the fourth chapter of 3 Nephi. Some of these things that I'm reading about, I hope that you can remember them, take them to heart, and, shall I say, do as I've been doing on some of these Sunday school questions. Go and study and look if you can't find a lot more references that uphold the same thing. For that is the way that we learn more about our scriptures, is to go and study them. And if you have a Bible with a marginal reference, it'll direct you to someplace else. And you can learn some more. I had a lesson here that was going to take quite a little reading, maybe. Over in Mosiah, if I take too much time here, some of these references are going to be left. The second chapter of Mosiah, I'm going to begin with verse 8. And I don't remember, but I believe it was King Benjamin that was talking here. And he was teaching his people. And if what King Benjamin taught his people was good for them then, the same thing should be good for us today, because King Benjamin was a man of God. So we, as representatives of God, should teach the same thing that the men of God taught in times past. Mosiah, the second chapter, beginning with verse 8. For behold, if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to the sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state. You see how he classes them there? If they were awakened to the sense of their nothingness, how much can we consider ourselves as nothing before Christ? Are we in a condition where we can come before Christ with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and say we are not and nothing before him? Or do we want to elevate ourselves in pride and say how big we are, how much we can do before him? I think we better discard the pride and come down in lowliness of heart. I say unto you, if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long-suffering toward the children of men, and also the atonement which he has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even to the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body. And if we would turn back to 2 Nephi, I haven't got it wrote down there, but I believe it's the first chapter and about verse 107, where he speaks of this life of the mortal body, Nephi says, in the flesh. And we can't say that we'll be in the flesh when we get over in that spiritual world. So he says for us, maybe I better turn over there and see for sure that it's where I'm thinking it is. Says, in the days of Christ, days of the children of men were prolonged according to the will of God, that they might repent while in the flesh. 2 Nephi, 1st chapter, verse 107. In other words, he's telling us that the time for us to repent is while in this life, in this mortal body, and the time is now. Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring to us. To go on with the reading, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation. He goes to what he just got through saying, to repent while in this life. Says, I say that this is the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement, which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were, ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or who ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. Salvation, according to that, is going to come to all those to repent and to go back, say, come to God with a contrite heart and a contrite spirit, in meekness and lowliness of heart, and in several places it specified, keep his commandments. That is the man that is going to be, shall I say, judged to eternal life by Christ. And there is none other salvation save this which has been spoken of. Neither is there any condition whereby man can be saved except the condition which I have told you. Believe in God. Believe that he is, that he created all things, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that ye must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, I didn't add that, it's right there. That's verse 17. Now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And again I say unto you, as I have said before, that as you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of his goodness, and have tasted of his love, and received the remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your soul, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God, and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depth of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, and standing steadfast in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, that if ye do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain the remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And ye will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably, and to render to every man according to that which is his due. You will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will ye suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another, and serve the devil, who is the master of sin, or who is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy of all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. You will not administer of your substance. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And I would say, both spiritually and physically, if we help out those that need succor spiritually, as well as those who need it in the substance, we will be helping those, you might say, to help themselves. A lot of this here is the words of King Benjamin to the people there. They are words to us today. There's a lot of it that I can't see any way that I can tell it any plainer. I want to read some over in Alma. The 19th chapter. We're going to begin with verse 56. Read about four verses. Then I'm going to skip on down a little farther and read some more. We know Alma was another man of God, and he done lots of teaching. There is quite a lot to the book of Alma, and a lot of good things in there that we should try to understand. And he's talking here about the resurrection. He has just told him about the reuniting of the body and the spirit, which brings about the resurrection of the dead. But whether it be at his resurrection or after, I do not say. This is the beginning of verse 56. But this much I say, that there is a space between death and the resurrection of the body, and the state of the soul in happiness or in misery, until the time which is appointed of God that the dead should come forth and be reunited body and be brought to stand before God and be judged according to their works. Now, in many places in this Book of Mormon, when it says according to their works, it says good or bad. Yea, this bringeth about the restoration of those things of which have been spoken by the mouth of the prophet. The soul shall be restored to the body, and the body to the soul. Yea, and every limb and joint shall be restored to its body. Yea, even a hair of the head shall not be lost, but all things shall be restored to their proper and perfect frame. And now, my son, this is the restoration of which has been spoken by the mouth of the prophets. And then shall the righteous shine forth in the kingdom of God. It goes on to tell us some about those that are not righteous and what happens to them. But I don't want to take too much time for that, but I'm not going to get through with all of it. But I'm going to drop down to verse 76. Now, behold, and now behold is the meaning of the word restoration, to take a thing of a natural state and place it in an unnatural state, or to place it in a state opposite to its nature. Oh, my son, this is not the case. But the meaning of the restoration is to bring back again evil for evil, carnal for carnal, devilish for devilish, good for that which is good, righteous for that which is righteous, just for that which is just, merciful for that which is merciful. Showing that you're going, in this restoration, we're going to be brought back just as we were. If we was merciful, we will be merciful, and so forth. Therefore, my son, see that ye are merciful unto your brethren. Deal justly, judge righteously, and do good continually. And if you do all these things, then ye shall receive your reward. Yea, ye shall have mercy restored unto you again. Ye shall have justice restored unto you again. And ye shall have a righteous judgment restored unto you again. And ye shall have good rewarded unto you again, for that which ye do send out shall return unto you again and be restored. Therefore the word restoration more fully condemneth the sinner and justify him not at all. I don't know how I can tell those things any plainer. I'm going back to the first chapter of Mosiah for one verse. Mosiah, the first chapter. I'm going to read verse 7. And here he is talking specifically about the records that had been brought down to the children of men, and their records came down through the plates of brass, what they read and studied out of them. He says, I say unto you, my son, were it not for these things which have been kept and preserved by the hand of God, that we might read and understand of his mysteries and have his commandments always before our eyes, that even our fathers would have dwindled in unbelief. Showing that that is what our scriptures are here for before our eyes, that we might read and understand of the mysteries of God. And it says that even those in that time, and shall I say us as well today, if we didn't have them, we would dwindle in unbelief. You can stop and look around you at the world today and see those that, shall I say, pay very little or no attention to the scriptures that have been left here for our guidance. Where are they? Dwindled in unbelief. Some to the extent that they even deny their Savior, they deny their God. Others will admit God and Christ, but they don't want to keep his commandments, not knowing, shall I say, the consequence of not studying, not learning, but they dwindle in unbelief. That's one thing that I don't think we want to do, is to dwindle in unbelief. The other thought that I'd like to get over here in the third chapter of Revelations, if I can get it the way. Revelation, the third chapter. I'm going to read verses 15 and 16. He says, I know thy work. Now he's speaking to some back there. But you can take it today. He knows our work. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He don't like us to be in the middle. And you don't realize what that's saying? If we're cold towards him, if we drift away from the Lord, he will drift away from us. But if we come to him in truth and sincerity, he will come to us and be with us. Says, so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Showing that we don't want to go along here and just kind of drift along in the center